Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Emily Rauschenberger is a mom of five. Her husband, Mohammed, was born in Palestine. She is trapped with her children and husband and rest of family. They're trapped against the Rafah crossing, which is closed, and the bombs keep falling, and there is no water, and there is no food. As some Americans in Israel are being escorted to safety through the U.S. State Department, what's happening to Emily Rauschenberger and her five children? She was interviewed by CBS News.
It's ironic, I suppose. There's just not enough political will for some reason to push for more assistance for Americans in Gaza. If we're concerned about American life, it should be all American lives.
This is about family, not just war. And family ties and family needs. And they're being helped, some by the State Department to get out of Israel, while others, like Emily Rauschenberger's family and her five children, are not. To help us understanding all this is Emily's father, John Rauschenberger, and her brother, Joe, who have been frantically trying to reach media and get their story out there to help their sister and their daughter get out of Gaza. And where are you? As Joe Rauschenberger and John Rauschenberger panic and do everything they can to help effort some kind of escape as the bombs are falling and the water's running out and her and their grandchildren are hungry. You're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago Way. Absolutely.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way. That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
Before we go into the interviews and the explanations of the catastrophe, just refreshing, I'm John Cass, John Cass News, editor-in-chief, Orthodox Christian, father, husband, and Jeff Carlin is Jeff Carlin, executive producer of WGN News. Okay, we're here with John Rauschenberger and his son Joe, approximately 500 Americans stuck in Gaza who are not being invited on the charter flights to get out. And I got to think that this is terrifying for the Rauschenberger family.
Absolutely. They're petrified. As we go into the fourth week, John, I think they're getting more and more concerned. As the refugees head from the north to the south, it's getting dicier every day. And my daughter has five children with her and her husband. They were there to visit his ailing grandmother. Family owned an olive tree farm in the far southeast corner of Gaza. And they were there for a short visit, wrong place at the wrong time.
And your son's with us too, Joe. Emily's the daughter we're referring to, but she's your older sister. And the toughest part, it seems like, for you, obviously being removed from the situation, is that there's no way to get a hold of them regularly or even consistently. And getting updates, obviously, as we can tell, are really hard. What's the situation there?
It's been difficult. We were able to get a hold of her most recently here in the last 12 hours. So we've had a positive indication.
Oh, great.
But, you know, that's why speaking to you folks is important about amplifying the message. And, you know, also want to say to, you know, how we're dealing with it and how we're hearing from her is, you know, we have been able to get her a voice there in Palestine, and she has demonstrated such courage and strength and poise and said some really powerful things about, you know, progress at the minimum needs to come from this suffering. And so, yeah, you know, where, you know, when we have gotten a hold of her, it was almost saintly where she said, you know, I know how you feel. I've had family under siege in Gaza before when I've been sitting in England crying and trying to do everything I can. And, you know, just the strength and poise and resolve and endurance, you know, mentally, you know, here it's, again, me and my dad are having a hard time, and we're certainly realize it must be infinitely more taxing over there.
Can I jump in a second, John? Yeah. And Jeff?
Yeah,
my daughter is a citizen of the world. She did her undergrad at NYU. She did Teach for America in inner city Baltimore.
Wow.
At the same time, got a master's in education. She's planning to come back to Chicago at a job we helped her land, only to be recruited to go to England because England decided to mimic Teach for America called Teach First. She goes over there, falls in love with the job, is based out of Manchester, but goes to London every other week. That was her territory. Can you imagine 24, 25-year-old young lady loving that? She meets her husband, who's a British citizen, but his heritage is Gaza, Palestine. And then she finishes that, gets a PhD in international education at the University of Edinburgh, and then takes a two-year position at the Queen's Foundation in Amman, Jordan, where she helped rewrite the country's educational requirements. They're finishing up that two-year contract. They're heading home to England and stop by to see the family. Wrong place, wrong time. And to her credit, as Joe said, my daughter Emily is steely, steadfast, pragmatic, and positive. And she's holding up. I think that's what keeps the kids focused. They have five children from age 4 to 14, but they were relocated on October 9th. They were in the southeast section of Gaza in the agricultural area where the olive tree farm right near the border. And the IDF said, you got to move. Then they went to Khan Yunis, and they were told to move. Then they moved south, and they were told to move. So now they're in their fourth location with 31 people in a three-bedroom house where it's not the last week. They're now bombing in her immediate area to the point that they can feel the walls shake. So the worst part, she said, is at night, you know, scares the bejeebies out of the kids.
So Israel, from what I understand, has asked everyone in the north to move south. So but I also hear that the gates to get into Egypt are closed. So what's going on? What is this? A bottleneck of potential death and destruction? What are we seeing here?
From what we know, second day this happened, we registered Emily and her family with the U.S. State Department for evacuation. They had it up on the website already. And at the same time, Emily registered at the UK Home Office's evacuation internet because her husband is a British citizen. And all five of her kids were born in Manchester. So they're both English and US citizens and carry both passports. So early on, they contacted Emily and me because I was the one that entered their information on the State Department website here in the States. Yeah. And said the border. So for two straight days, they went to the Rafah border and stood outside with no facilities in a court area with about 500 other Americans for 10 hours, and nothing opened up, nothing happened. And And again, as Joe might tell you, all we know is what Emily tells us that they hear on the street, what's going on, but we have no information about what's going on at the border. And since those first 2 days back in early October, the 9th, the 10th, 11th, we haven't heard a thing from the State Department. And I think, Joe, you talked to Emily one day and she said they have heard from the UK.
Yeah, the UK Home Office was giving her consistent telephone calls just to check her condition, where in terms we didn't get that privilege from the State Department directly. But, you know, on the macro level of what's going on at the Rafah border crossing, you know, it's, you know, the nexus of Middle East politics, right? But, you know, three times, you know, 500 American citizens have been prompted to make that journey to the border. And that would include a whole bunch of other foreign nationals that are there, too. I know Emily said it was actually the kids got to see their friends from the international school that they've known from pen pal, and that they had, you know, the British kids and the French kids and the American kids, and they had a big soccer game there. But, you know, on back to my idea, just real quick of, you know, yes, as you're saying, Mr. Cass, the official word from the Israeli Defense Force is they're trying to displace a million people across the Wadi River in the South Gaza. And they've now, and that's, you know, the size of the piece of land itself and how dense it is, that's not even practical under the best terms that could exist. Now there's no water, there's no power, the roads are bombed, there's bombing 24 hours a day. You know, there's no place for these people. As we've said, Emily's gone. At the very beginning, she was displaced by IDF order, and so she's on the run. They can't go back and get an extra pair of clothes because they're a legitimate target under what they're using as their official rationale. And so, yeah, the people are on the run. As we said, there's 40, 50, 70 people packed in these apartments, and they're just sitting there.
I can't imagine what they're going through, and any idea of how the children are holding up in all this. I know children, we always say, are resilient, but I you know, they have friends, that's great. But what's going on with the kids? It just breaks my heart.
My sense is 3 days ago, I had about a 13-minute call. And, you know, even in the U.S., sometimes cell calls are spotty or break up.
Sure. Right.
But I had a good 13-minute call with them. And I'm the designated caller because I've got the best AT&T phone package, the family said. But the kids are upbeat and they're positive. They're a reflection of their parents who've taken this and tried to put a positive spin on it. They were able to hack an e-bike battery to charge their phones and their iPads and laptops. The kids also have for their iPads a little handheld solar panels that they put out on the windowsill during the day to try to keep everything charged up. The bad day is when it's been cloudy a couple days. But they're very positive and upbeat. And one thing I told them. They call me Pops, and I said, kids, I want the four older ones, not the four-year-old, but the 2 9-year-old twins, 12 and 14-year-old. I'm going to bring you guys an early Christmas. So when you get out, I'm going to show up in London when you fly in there, and we're going to have early Christmas. So would you guys put together an early Christmas list?
Aww.
10 things you want and prioritize it. And my daughter Emily said the next time I talked to her, Dad, the best thing you ever did was that. They spent 2 days arguing and debating and reclassifying.
I just give you some word of advice. Don't give them Chelsea tickets. If you're in Manchester, they're Manchester United fans or City fans. Don't give them Chelsea tickets. You know, when my kids were little, we lost them for a few minutes in Oak Brook. They were hiding in the coat racks, you know, those circular coat racks. And Betty screamed and shut the whole store down. Got Marshall, I think it was Fields or Macy's, whatever they called it. And they shut down the whole store. And then they went store, you know, quadrant by quadrant to find them. But I can't imagine. I just cannot imagine, even now, even though she's grown and, oh, Dad, I'm a grown woman now and I have my own children. I can't imagine what you're, how you and your family are dealing with this. I just can't put my head around it.
It's a challenge, to say the least. And wouldn't you expect the mother of five kids, she lamented to me, the adults are all fine, but I'm worried about the kids, Dad. They haven't had fresh fruit or any type of meat, chicken, lamb, anything now for almost 3 weeks. Mm. And she says they're able to source, you know, starches, you know, rice and bread and things. And I said, well, this won't be forever, Emily. Keep a stiff upper lip on this. And Joe, my son Joe's a soccer fan. Joe, which team do the kids support?
You know, they play. The Twins are really taking off. It's kind of a cute story because I'm a Manchester City fan, and have been so, being an Oasis fan, diehard for 30 years. My dad took me to England to see Oasis 25 years ago. And so it's kind of a cute symbolic story where I've always tried to impress Manchester City fandom on them, at least trying to save them from being United fans. And lo and behold, they are Liverpool fans because they and their friends identify with Mo Salah.
Oh, wow.
So I think that's kind of poignant, him being an Egyptian Muslim. So, you know, it's, even as hard as you might try to pass along fandom, you know, folks will find what works for them, maybe.
I've been trying to think of what might work out, like, you know, not that I'd have a magic wand or something, because I don't, but I've been trying to think of what's the way to think about this thing. And once you get past the murders and the bloodlust, it's going to calm down. People have to calm down eventually. Have either of you reached out, I would assume you have, to congressmen or congresspeople?
We've got two senators and five reps that have all written letters and have reached out, but to no avail. They're at wit's end. I've offered to fly out and knock on doors, but the coaching I'm getting, that's going to be a waste of time, energy, and effort. And, you know, this whole thing started with us reaching out through media. Is the third day of the war, I got through to the State Department in D.C., got a hold of a real person. I was told to register. I said, I did. And I said, what I need to know is, it sounds like everyone says there's a plan to get Americans out of Israel, which is great. What are we doing for the people stuck in Gaza? Believe it or not, he said, well, let me put you on hold and check. You know, usually you get cut off with the government or they don't get back. Right. He got back in about 10 minutes and said, there's no plan at this point in time. Any American stuck in Gaza has to exit safely on their own. And that's what set me off. And I called up Wink News in Fort Myers, Florida, because I'm right now down in Florida. Went up to Wink News, knocked on their door, told them my story, and they put me on TV locally. CBS National picked it up, and then it's been a kind of a spin from there. And this isn't supposed to be about me, John and Jeff. This is about my daughter and 500 other Americans. How do we get them out? Because there's only one way in or out, unless you're going to do an amphibious escape. But it's good. You know, my daughter said every day, every night, the bombing gets a little closer, and that there are mosques, banks, rec centers around them. They're all being bombed. And there's got to be smart bombs by Israel. So, you know, I just don't understand why they're bombing in the southern end of Gaza when the fight's in the northern end. And now there's more and more refugees. And to your point, you're right. There's a major, bigger problem to solve here. But the short term, I'm frustrated and have to say it. As a 73-year-old that's paid taxes all my life, all the money we've paid to Egypt in foreign aid and military aid, and I know this is a multi-person decision between Israel and Egypt and the U.S., and some say Hamas, but I think not at the border. Why can't we just get that thing selfishly open for 24, 48 hours for the Americans and the other foreign nationals? We get the Americans out, my daughter and her family gets out. That's what we're praying for. So this is to keep the spotlight, and heartfelt thanks to you, John and Jeff, that you're discussing this with us, because you just never know who knows who. Right. And by the way, we have a family motto, and our family motto is, we're all in till they're all out. And I come from a large family of five siblings, and we have an extended family, and my sister Laura was on NPR in Tucson yesterday. Joe's working the DC market. He's been on TV there. I've been blessed and been able to get on WGN TV, radio and TV. And we were on CBS with the morning show with Gail Brown. We've been on Lester Holt at night, just drawing attention to how do we get the Americans out across the Rafah border. And anything, John, Jeff, you can do, we'll do. Just tell us.
Your family is kind of the perfect encapsulation of humanitarianism. I mean, your daughter, obviously an American living abroad, meets a gentleman, you know, as you've got a family that's right. I mean, and goes, is clearly driven to make the world a better place. And, you know, our State Department has their hands up and say, hey, we can't do anything. You know, that's not our thing. Is there any advice you have to say a family that maybe hasn't hit that, you know, media point where they've, you know, gotten lots of coverage? I mean, who are in a similar situation, who are trying to get answers? Anything you can, advice you could give them?
Please, please contact us. You know, whether through the media outlets that they see us on, with, you know, contacting you or Jeff, you or John, always have, you know, send us anything you might get. And we're out there on Facebook primarily. My name's Joe Rauschenberger, you know, because, yeah, just more information and more voice, you know, again, we're trying to amplify. And yeah, just, you know, not that we have all, we're just trying to amplify, I suppose.
Well, and you know, John, you remember probably Jeff too. I'm very fortunate to have a brother, Steve Rauschenberger, that was in politics in Illinois and ran unsuccessful statewide.
Yeah.
You know, the man who should have been governor. Your brother should have been governor. I wanted him to be governor.
Amen. And, you know, he's got us in touch with LaHood. He's got us in touch with Mike, the congressman from Southern Illinois. His name escapes me at the moment. But we're working with anybody and everybody. So, you know, I'm John Rauschenberger at gmail.com. We got a network right now of 500 people. We're emailing, keeping up, suggesting what they do. And, you know, all we want to do is get the Americans out. And, you know, it's just getting frustrating because into the fourth week, one thing my daughter said, she said, Dad, every day is like Groundhog Day. And the cute thing they do, she said, it's kind of like living in a tribe. And I said, well, what did you mean? She told me this a couple of weeks ago. She said, well, the men get up every morning and go source food. The older boys get up every morning with the water jugs and go find a water truck. And the women go get bread. And my 14-year-old granddaughter told me one time briefly that she was in line to get bread, got up to the window, and a couple women elbowed her out. She got pushed out of line. The door shut. She didn't get the bread that day. She said, Pops, that's never going to happen again. And talk about a life lesson at age 14.
Yeah.
And she said, it's like going to camp. Everybody goes to bed at the same time. Because when the sun goes down, you know, there's no electricity, there's no TV, and there's nothing to do in the apartment with 30 plus people. So everybody goes to bed. So Dad, it's like when you sent me to Girl Scout camp. But they're holding up. And, you know, we're open for suggestions or ideas. As you said, Mr. Cass, nobody's got that magic wand. But other than keep putting the spotlight on, the government's got to do something. Somebody's got to step up. Somebody's got to be a leader in this. You know, we supply everything to Israel. We supply everything to Egypt. We're a big supporter of Jordan. It's just beyond my comprehension why they can't get together and open that border selfishly for the Americans. And then the foreign nationals, like Joe said, there's Brits, there's Canadians, there's French, there's German. And my daughter did say when she was there those 2 days where they stood in line for 10 plus hours, about a third of everybody is kids. They're kids.
Jeez.
People don't mind opening their door, but they're worried about the 5,000 people behind you. You know?
Right.
Yeah. Like you open the door and then what happens?
Yep.
It's no, I understand. Mess. It's a mess. And we're gonna put something on John Cass News, like your contact, so people can reach you.
Please.
And good luck to you, and let me know and Jeff know whenever I can help you or whenever we can help you.
Yeah, and anybody listening to us too knows how to get a hold of John and I, and we can put you in touch and connect anybody who needs help or thinks they might need some advice. You know, we're happy to help. It's the least we can do.
Reach out to John at johncastnews.com. That's where I am.
And from Joe and me and our entire family and Emily and her husband and five kids, our heartfelt appreciation for this time and this opportunity to kind of continue the spot and get the message out. We just want them home safe.
Man. Thanks. Thanks, John. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, John, thank you very much.
Thank you both, guys. And we, like I said, hope for the best, and we'll keep them in our prayers.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
For John Rauschenberger, father of Emily Rauschenberger, grandfather of five Rauschenberger kids, and her husband, Mohammed, trapped, all of them trapped in Gaza, trying to get out, unable to get out as the bombs are falling. And for Joe Rauschenberger, her brother, and for Jeff Carlin, executive producer of WGN Radio News, and for me, John Cass, husband, father, Greek Orthodox Christian, editor-in-chief of johncassnews.com. Thanks for joining us on the Chicago Way. And join us again next time, won't you?